You know, there are events that happen in our lives that if we're going to be blunt, if we're going to be plain about it, there are things that happen in our life that just make us sad. And as I look at some of the things that have happened in our nation in this last week, I don't know how you can be but just sad about things that have happened. When things happen that involve children, I don't know about you, but I just am overwhelmed with sadness at the events that happened in that school in Nashville on Monday. How could anyone walk into a school and do that? Anything that involves children makes me sad. When I get an Amber Alert and I think about what that child is going through, it brings sadness. It's not just our children. You think about what's happening with some of our families. It just makes you sad to think what some of our families are going through. The divorce that many of our families have been through. But the death that many of our families have been through. Think about the deaths that many of our families have suffered just in the last year. Some of them unexpected. And how that overwhelms you with sadness. There's a family in northern Alabama this past week where a grandmother had four grandchildren in the car with her. Was involved in a car accident. The grandmother lost her life. Baby boy lost his life. I don't know how you can be but just overwhelmed with sadness at tragedy. We face health issues in our lives. People we love, our husbands, our wives, our people in our families face health issues and just overwhelmed with sadness. Sometimes you look at things that are happening in various congregations and see how various congregations are struggling and see sometimes how congregations are dealing with individuals who are sowing discord in them. And I'm thankful we're not dealing with that here, but it overwhelms you with sadness. I don't know how you can look at what's happening in our nation today. I don't know how you can look at the immorality that is overwhelming our country today. I don't know how you can look at the immorality that is being celebrated and held up and applauded in our nation today and not just be overwhelmed with sadness. And as you hear the introduction to this lesson, you think, wow, I wasn't sad before I got here, but you know, now that you mention it, you know, there's a lot of things for me to be sad about. Are you sad about anything? Anything happening in your life and your family and in your country that's caused you to be sad? There was a hymn writer, a church hymn writer, church songwriter back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, by the name of Will Thompson. He wrote some of the songs that we sing. He wrote the song, "There's a Great Day Coming." We know that song. He wrote the song, "Softly and Tenderly." We know that song. But one of the last songs that Will Thompson wrote makes me to believe that he had a life where he had faced some sadness. Because near the end of his life, he wrote this song, and you know this song. And in this song that he wrote, he said, "When I am sad, to Him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, He makes me glad. He's my friend." First part of this lesson may have made you sad. First part of this lesson may have reminded you of all of the things that surround us today that cause us to be sad. And maybe today you are sad for a variety of reasons. But today I want to remind us that when I am sad, He makes me glad. Has He made you glad? I want you to get your Bibles out today and go to Luke chapter 24. The passage is on the screen. We had a text read to us from Luke chapter 24 this morning. And maybe you're sad today and you're thinking, I need to be glad. I want you to go to Luke chapter 24. Maybe you've got people in your life today that you know are sad and you want to share something with them to help them to be glad. Go to Luke chapter 24 today. You go to this text in Luke chapter 24, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And you would think, this is a great day. Everybody on the day that Jesus has been raised from the dead, they ought to be glad. And they're not. This is a day of mixed emotions. You think, what in the world? Mixed emotions on this great day of victory? Mixed emotions on the day of resurrection. And I want you to go to Luke chapter 24. And I want you to walk with these men in Luke chapter 24 who are leaving Jerusalem and they're walking 7 miles out to the little village of Emmaus. I want you to walk with them. And as we walk with them, I want us to see a change that overcame them, and it ought to be a change that overcomes us. When I am sad, He makes me glad. I want you to see what these men are going through. When you come across these men in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13, you find some men who are reeling because of their friend Jesus. What does that mean, reeling? We're not talking about fishing. I know some of you, as soon as I put that up there, you thought, oh, good, we're going fishing. We're not talking about that kind of reeling. We're talking about that kind of reeling that a boxer deals with in the ring, where he's got it. Somebody's given him a good left hook, and he's just reeling. He's staggering. He's off balance. He's trying to gain his composure, trying to figure out where he is. That's where these two disciples walking to Emmaus are. They're spiritually, they're staggering. Spiritually, they're reeling. They're trying to figure out their bearings. What in the world is going on? Jesus finds them. Look in Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Behold, two men were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. They talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were constrained so that they did not know Him. They didn't recognize that it was Jesus. He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another? Look in verse 17. What is this conversation you're having with one another as you walk and are sad? Jesus comes across two disciples who are reeling because of the events that have transpired. They are sad. The word that's used here is talking about their face. It's not talking about their hearts being sad. It's literally talking about their face. On the outside, these two guys look sad. Have you ever put up a good face where on the outside you didn't look sad, but on the inside you were sad? You just put on a good face? These guys were done putting on a good face. On the inside, they were sad. On the outside, they were sad. Look in verse 18. After Jesus asked them this question, what is it, guys, that's making you sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have happened there in these days? Where have you been, fella? You don't know what's happened? Why are these guys sad? They're sad because of the events that have transpired, the things that have happened over the last several days. You ever been there? You ever faced circumstances in your life that you weren't expecting? And all of a sudden, your heart is just overwhelmed with sadness. These guys are sad because of things that have happened. So verse 19, Jesus just goes along with it. He investigates with the guys. He says, what things? What are you talking about? What things? So they said to him, let's tell you about this. The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet. He was mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And the chief priests and the rulers, they delivered him to be condemned to death and to be crucified. But we were hoping that this was the man who was going to redeem Israel. But indeed, besides all of this today, it's been 3 days since this happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early, they astonished us. They didn't find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us, they went to the tomb and, yeah, they found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. I want you to walk with these guys. I want you to walk with these guys who are reeling because of Jesus. They thought Jesus was the guy and now he's dead and they just don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? Sad because of things that have happened, things that have happened that are just out of your control. You couldn't have changed anything. It just happened, just came about, and you don't know what to do. If that's you, if you've been there, if you are there, or one day you will be there, I want to share with you two things from this text that I hope will help us when we are sad to let Jesus make us glad. I want us to see some reminders, some things that we need to remember about my friend Jesus when I am sad. And they're all right here from Luke chapter 24. I want to see some reminders about some. These are things we already know, and that's why we call them reminders. You already know these things. There were some things these guys already knew. They just needed some reminders. And once you have these reminders, even when I am sad, I can be glad. First reminder for you when you are sad is that Jesus is alive. I want you to, if you don't get anything else, I want you to get that. Jesus is alive. Look in chapter 24 and verse 5. When those women came to the tomb, I love the question that the angel asked them. He comes and they come seeking Jesus in the tomb, and he asks them in Luke chapter 24 and verse 5, why do you seek the living? Underscore that, the living. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Who did they come there to seek? They came there to seek a dead man. They thought he was dead. The angel says, why are you looking for the living person among the dead people? What's the angel saying? He's alive. The very next verse, verse 6 and 7, just as he told you, he's gone forth. Don't you remember what he tells you in verse 7? Look at the red letters. Don't you remember what he said? Yes, he's going to be delivered to these men in Jerusalem. He's going to be crucified. But on the third day, he's going to rise again. Jesus is alive. These men are sad on the happiest day in all the world has ever known. Have you ever been sad on a happy day? These men were sad on the happiest day that they could possibly have. And so over in verse 23, the passage that we read when they... When the men were recounting to Jesus what the angels had said that he was, look at the very last verse of verse 23. He was alive. Do we believe with all of our hearts, not just that Jesus was alive, this isn't past tense on the screen, Jesus is alive. When you are sad, you've got Jesus who is alive. He presented himself with many infallible proofs, Acts 1 and verse 3. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, it's as if Jesus was looking at John. And have you ever jiggled the keys? What's the word I'm looking for? Have you ever wiggled the keys at somebody? Hello, look over here. I got the keys. In my mind, that's what I picture Jesus doing in Revelation 1 and verse 18. Revelation 1 and verse 18, Jesus says, I was dead and I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and hello. I've got the keys to death and hate. I'm not dead anymore. I'm alive forevermore. I don't know what it is that you've been through and what you're going through. You need to be reminded today that your Jesus is alive. You don't serve a Savior who's in some tomb somewhere. You don't serve a Savior somewhere that's got some tombstone that says this man's still dead. He is alive. Now notice what happens in Luke chapter 24. Jesus is alive. But what did he do for these men in Luke chapter 24 and verse 15? It was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus drew near and Jesus walked with them. These men were sad. Jesus walked with them. Brother and sister in Christ, when you are sad, you need to be reminded that Jesus is walking with you. You're not walking by yourself. Ever felt like you were walking alone? That passage, we even sang the words this morning from Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk. Who's walking? I. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why will I fear no evil? For thou art with me. I am walking, but I'm not walking by myself. Whatever you're walking through today, whatever sadness you may have, would you be reminded today you're not walking alone? We sing a song that says what? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. If you're a child of God today, Jesus is saying, I'm right here. I'm with you, and you are my own. But he doesn't just walk. Jesus walked with these men, and you get down to verse 27 to verse 28, and they get to Emmaus. We've arrived at our destination. And it indicates in verse 28 that Jesus would have kept on going. He just would have kept on walking. But what does it say? They drew near the village, verse 28, where they were going. And Jesus indicates that he would have gone farther. But they constrained Jesus, verse 29, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Look at the end of verse 29. And he went in to stay with them. Jesus doesn't just walk with you. He stays with you. Maybe you've had somebody in your life who walked with you for a period of time, but you know they kind of had their own stuff to do. They had their own life to live, and understandably, they had things to go and take care of, so they couldn't keep walking with you. It doesn't matter how far of a journey you've got. Jesus not only walks with you, he stays with you the entire time. John chapter 14, he talked about the fact, if you love me, you'll keep my words. My Father will love him. And we will come into him, and I love the end of verse 23, and we will make our home with him. Did you ever have somebody come to your house and they made themselves at home? I mean, maybe you said make yourself at home, and then they really did, and they never left. And you're like, oh, yeah, thank you very much. Didn't really mean that. John 14 and verse 23, Jesus says, my Father and I will come and make our home with you. He doesn't just walk with you. He comes and stays with you. And Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. At the moment you begin as a child of God to think that the Lord has left you, be reminded today he hasn't left you. He promised he never would. We might be sad, but we need to be reminded he walks with us. He stays with me. But maybe you've had somebody stay with you before, but they stayed in another room. They were in the same house, but they stayed in another room. And maybe that's the way you wanted it, right? Maybe they just stayed in another part of the house. God doesn't just come and stay in the same house, in another part of the house. Look in verse 30. It came to pass as he sat at the table with them. He took bread, blessed, broke it, and he gave it to them. He walks with you. He stays with you. He sits with you. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Jesus isn't talking to people out in the world. He's talking to you as a child of God. Specifically, he's talking to children of God who have walked away from him. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's saying that to his children who have walked away. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. When you're going through sadness in your life, you need to be reminded, Jesus is sitting right there with you. Lo, I am with you always, he says, even to the end of the age. No matter what you're going through, walks with you, stays with you, sits with you. He stands with you. You get over to verse 36. Jesus comes into that upper room where the disciples are gathered and it says, He stood in their midst. Whatever you're going through, whatever posture you might feel that you are spiritually, maybe it is that you're trying to stand up for what's right in school. You're trying to stand up for what's right in your workplace. You're trying to stand for truth in our country. No matter what you might be going through, know that He stands with you. He sits with you. It doesn't matter what it is. Our Lord is with you. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul would say, At my first defense, no one stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. You think Paul felt alone? There he is on trial before Caesar. And he looks around, he looks this way, looks around, looks this way. He said, Yep, I'm here all by myself. Nobody stood with me. Have you ever looked around and said, yep, all by myself. People were around for a while, but I guess they left. They've got their own thing to do. You know who Paul saw with his eye of faith standing right there with him? The Lord stood with me. When you're sad, the Lord stands with you. But notice what Jesus provides. Notice what Jesus provides to these. If you're in a moment, if you're dealing with sadness because of something that's transpired around you and likely some things that have been out of your control, notice what Jesus provides. This is Jesus' formula, okay? Jesus' formula, when somebody is sad, you know what they need? Look at what Jesus gave them. Jesus gave them Scripture. These men are sad. Lord, what are you going to do to help them in their sadness? He gave them Scripture. Look at what happens here. Look at verse 25. After they go through this whole ordeal about, oh, we thought it was going to be him. Oh, but now he's dead. Look at what Jesus says, verse 25. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets, the Bible, you're not believing what the Bible has said. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. What's He doing? He's saying, look, you all are sad because of things that have been transpiring. Let me help you out. How does He help them out? Share Scripture with them. Go over to verse 44. Verse 44, Jesus says, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were what? Written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And so He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. When you're going through sadness, guess what Jesus says you need? Scriptures. When you have a friend who's going through sadness, guess what Jesus says they need? Scriptures. Some of you are so good at doing that. Some of you are so good at sending a text message, writing a card that just says, I'm sorry for what you're going through, and you just give a little scripture there. May God help us to never minimize somebody sharing a scripture with us. Whew. Sometimes, I'm just on that group message and she just always sends out verses every day. May God help us to never minimize somebody sharing a scripture with us. Jesus says, here's some people who are sad, and what do they need? They need scripture. He shares Scripture with them in order to teach them. What else does Jesus share with them? Look in verse 36. Jesus provides them with peace in order to reassure them. He says, peace to you. When you read over in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, we won't take time to go and read those verses. We don't have the time. But I would encourage you to, in your Bible, if not here, to at least go over and underline those verses in your Bible where Jesus tells His disciples, John 14, 27, John 16, 33, My peace I give to you. Not as the world. I'm not talking about worldly kind of peace. But it's My peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Things are going to bring us sadness and trouble and fear. And Jesus says, look at the peace I'm giving you. In chapter 16, verse 33 says, I have overcome the world. Why are you full of fear? Be at peace. You know what should bring us peace when we're sad? That Jesus walks with me, He stays with me, He sits with me, He stands with me. That ought to bring us peace. Notice what else Jesus provided for them. Look in verse 41. And this verse is kind of interesting because Jesus presents Himself to them and they didn't believe in verse 37. They're frightened when they see Jesus appear to them. They think it's a ghost or something. Verse 39, He says, I'm not a ghost. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's really me. I've been raised from the dead. Remember what our first point is? Jesus is alive. Verse 40, when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, He said to them, have you any food here? That's a weird statement. They did not believe for joy. They did not believe because of their joy and marvel. What do you mean they didn't believe because of their joy? Their emotions are all over the place. If you just saw Jesus, whom you saw die, you saw put in the tomb, you saw the tomb closed, and now He's alive, would your heart be full of joy? Whoa! Look at this! This is Jesus alive! But it can't be Jesus alive. He's dead. I saw Him on the tree. We put Him in the tree. It can't be. They're all over in their minds, but their hearts are full of joy at Jesus being alive. And their joy just overwhelms them. It marvels them. Do we have that kind of joy? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, Peter says, you've got a joy that is inexpressible. As a Christian, we have a joy that we can talk about it, we just can't fully explain it. Peter says it is inexpressible. I can't put words to the joy that I have as a Christian. I can't put words to the fact that Jesus has saved me. I can't put words to the fact that He's prepared heaven for me. But I've got this joy. When you're dealing with sadness in your life, would you look at the joy that Jesus gives? You won't understand it. It's a joy that's just going to marvel you and you're going to be like, I can't comprehend. That's okay. They didn't either. And they were standing Him right there in His face. Last thing Jesus provides. He provides them with Scripture. He provides them with joy. He provides them with peace. He provides them with blessings. Look at the end of the chapter. He led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up His hands, and He blessed them. And He kept on blessing them all the while as He ascended into heaven in verse 51. Do you know how blessed you are as a child of God? Are there going to be things that are going to bring sadness into our lives? No doubt. And yet, look at what Jesus provides. Look at all of the blessings that we have. We have all spiritual blessings because we are in Christ Jesus. Over in Psalm 63, and I won't take time to read every verse over here in Psalm 63 is amazing. But I like what David says in Psalm 63. When he says to God in verse 7, because you have been my help. Has God been your help? Because you've been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. God, I don't understand everything that's going on. And in the context of this psalm, there's all sorts of bad things going on. But David says, under the shadow of your wings, you've helped me. I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Even when you don't know it, child of God, God is upholding you. He's taking care of you. He's blessing you even in those moments of sadness. For me, when I read through Luke 24, I need these reminders. Do you need these reminders? Are these reminders that maybe we need to put on our refrigerator, maybe we need to write on the cover, inside the cover of our Bible, so that when sadness overwhelms us, we can go over here and say, wait a minute. There were some other disciples who were sad, but He made them glad. Here are some things I need to be reminded of. And when I am reminded of these things, here's how I need to respond very quickly. Here are some responses that I need to make to my friend Jesus when I am sad. And they're all right here. They're all right here in Luke chapter 24. What kind of response was Jesus looking for in Luke chapter 24? Jesus was looking for these people to put their trust in Him. You read through this chapter, and over, you read about people who did not believe him. Against the evidence, staring them in the face sometimes, they did not believe him. And Jesus says, would you just put your trust in me? Without doubting. Look in chapter 24. Look in verse 38. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? When I am sad and I don't understand what's going on around me, I need to put my trust in Jesus and know that He is there to take care of me. Reminded of Peter in Matthew chapter 14. A man who had so much faith, he got out of a perfectly good boat and walked on water in the middle of a storm. You have that much faith? He had that much faith. But then he started to doubt. Then he took his trust out of Jesus and put his trust in himself. And he started to sink. We need to put our trust in Jesus. Even when the circumstances around us look like, oh, this isn't good, put your trust in Jesus. Go to the end of the chapter, end of chapter 24. What do I need to do when I'm sad? This almost seems just against what we would normally do. But look at the end of the chapter. What did they do at the end of the chapter? Verse 52, they worshiped Jesus. Verse 53, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. I'm reminded of David, 2 Samuel chapter 12. Some of you have been where David was. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Some of you have lost a baby. Some of you have had a child who has died. What did David do? David went and worshiped God. And again, we think that's just completely different and backwards from what we would normally do. And his servants were surprised by it. You remember, wait a minute, what are you doing? You're going to worshiping God? When I am sad, to Him I go. No other one can cheer me so. If you lost somebody, if you're overwhelmed with sadness, are you dealing with a family member who has just walked away from the Lord, walked away from your family, is living a life in sin? When I am sad, to Him I go. Trust Jesus. Worship Jesus. Notice at the end of chapter 24, they worshiped Jesus and they found great joy in doing it. They found great joy in the midst of being with their brethren. When you are in the midst of sadness, don't isolate yourself. When you're dealing with sadness, don't draw away from the church. Draw yourself into the church and be with your brethren. That's where we ought to find our greatest joy. Paul was in prison in writing the book of Philippians, and he writes them and says, you are my joy and my crown. Paul, you're in prison. You don't have any joy. Yes, I do. My brethren are my joy and my crown. Little book of 2 John, John's writing this letter. He says, you know what? He gets to the end of this letter. It's only 13 verses. He says in verse 12, I've got so many other things I want to write to you that would require pen and ink. But I hope to come to you shortly. Look at this. I hope to come to you shortly that I may see you face to face so that our joy may be full. What do you mean, John? Just tell them what you want to tell them with pen and ink. Yeah, it's not the same as being together. Brother and sister in Christ, there's nothing like being together. And when you're sad, put your trust in Jesus. When you're sad, worship. David didn't just go to a place. David went to a place and worshiped. To Him I go. When you're sad, find joy with your brethren. And finally, when you're sad, tell others about Jesus. That's what these disciples did. They could not keep it to themselves. When they came and found that empty tomb at the beginning of the chapter, those women went and told the other disciples, even though the other disciples wouldn't believe them. Have you ever thought about, well, I'm not going to tell these people anything. They're not going to believe what I have to tell them anyway. The disciples didn't believe the women, didn't stop them from telling them everything they could about that empty tomb and Jesus being raised from the dead. Tell others. Reminds me of Paul being in that Roman prison when he writes Ephesians and he says, "Would you please pray for me to be bold to speak for Jesus?" Paul, speaking for Jesus is what got you put in prison to begin with. Yes, I know. Would you please pray that I can be bold to speak even more for Jesus? Paul, you should be sad. You're in prison. I'm not sad. Would you pray that I can be bold to tell more people about Jesus? Brethren, that needs to be us. Not ashamed. Not so full of sadness that we keep the word to ourselves, but we say, you know what? I'm going to get out and get busy telling other people what I know. This is not the sermon that I had planned for today. It's a whole other topic that was on the list for today. But with everything going on this week and everything happening around us, I thought, here we are. We're surrounded by all of these reasons to be sad. Are you sad? Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him, I would fall. When I am sad, to Him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, He makes me glad. He's my friend. Can you say that today? Is Jesus your friend? Nothing we have said today about Him making you glad when you are sad, none of this applies to you if you are not His friend. You've got to be His friend in order for Jesus to walk with you and to stay with you and to sit with you and to stand with you. He's got to be your friend. John chapter 15. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." What does Jesus tell us to do in order to become His friend? We've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. Believe that He came and died for us on that cross, bore our sins, they're not His, my sins and your sins. And He died on that cross, He was buried in that tomb, and on the third day He was raised. He is alive. Do you believe that with all of your heart? If you believe that, you ought to look at the sin in your life and say, that put Jesus on the cross. I don't want anything to do with that sin anymore. I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. That's what the Bible calls repentance. It's a decision you make to say, I want to get my life right with God. Are you ready to make that decision today? If you're ready to make that decision, you can do what they did in the New Testament. You can confess the faith that is in your heart, and this very day you can be immersed. You can be baptized into Christ and allow your friend to wash away every one of your sins so that you can be raised to walk in newness of life, so that when you travel that road and you come across days of sadness, as long as you're walking with Him, He'll walk right there beside you. He'll make you glad. Are you a Christian today? Are you a faithful Christian? Is Jesus your friend? One of those songs that Will Thompson wrote, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Calling for you and calling for me. If He's not your friend, why don't you get your life right with Him right now?